It has been a long time since I just did kind of a walk and talk, or I have to do a sit and talk because I'm in Mobile Podcast Command on the beach, and if I step out, you're going to hear a lot of wind. So I can't keep the mics out of the wind. So we're going to be sitting on the beach here in Port Aransas, Texas, one of my favorite places, and we're going to do a sort of a freewheeling podcast for podcast 970, the Bob Davis podcast. Talk about some of the places I've been and the experience over the last month and a half or so of going gonzo nomad and selling everything I own and hitting the road. I am going to start out this podcast by thanking everybody for the donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. I don't have my email up, so I can't really thank you immediately. Somebody gave me $5. I really appreciate $5. People have given me $100. Chris Broberg, Andrew Davis, and many other people have given me $100, $50, $75, $5. Any kind of donation goes right in the tank, basically. And so I really, really appreciate those. If you want to donate, you go to thebobdavispodcast.com. And you look for the big, look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command in Texas a few years ago. And then you look for that donate button and you click on that. That takes you to the PayPal interface and you're good to go. That's the first thing. The second thing is, really appreciate subscribing to the Bob Davis Podcast at iTunes and for liking and especially sharing stuff on Facebook. That really helps me. Comments, not so much, but that really helps me. But really, I just wanted to thank everybody for their donations at thebobdavispodcasts.com. They're available on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play. It's actually Google Play Music or whatever their podcast interface is. I don't even know what they're doing these days. So again, thanks for your donations and all your support at thebobdavispodcast.com. So if you want to help animals, I know a lot of people do. I'm happy to announce that Inspire and Flourish is going to be with us here on the road for a while in Mobile Podcast Command. What is Inspire and Flourish? What they do is help those who rescue dogs and cats and help animals in need wherever they are. You know, the thing is, these agencies that do this kind of work need all kinds of help, and Inspire and Flourish is there to help them. And they also do a few rescues every now and then themselves. So during this holiday season, I want to remind everybody who care about animals, that Inspire and Flourish uses your contributions exclusively to help those creatures who love us the most. And the agencies that help these animals, as I said, depend on inspireandflourish.org. Send your tax-deductible donation to Inspire and Flourish by visiting inspireandflourish.org or click on their banner. It's one with the animals at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. The whole trip has so far been leaving Iowa, coming down, going over to Illinois, coming down through Tennessee and Kentucky. You've heard some of those podcasts. And then Virginia, and then after Virginia, went down to Charlotte, visit with my friend Max. And after that, there was a possibility of some other visiting, which didn't happen, and I just kept going and worked my way down through the South, which is quite an experience. The North, South Carolina, Georgia, and then the Florida Panhandle, and then across the Gulf Coast. So that is Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, all through there. And then got over to Texas, so the Texas side of the Gulf. So I've been beach-lifing pretty consistently all the way down. This is actually the first really warm day that I've experienced here in Port Aransas, and this is completely on the other side of the Gulf. So the so-called Redneck Riviera from Destin, Florida, all the way over. So Pensacola, Florida, all the way over to New Orleans, pretty much has often been referred to as the Redneck Riviera. It is beautiful, beautiful place, beautiful places. And it has been great to have solitude. And people say all the time when I talk about what I'm doing, they'll say, well, you know, what's it like to I mean, don't you have anybody with you? And isn't it lonely? You're by yourself. And lately, so you know that I visited friends and family, and that was great. And so I didn't feel really lonely. And the rest of the time from North Carolina on has pretty much just been me. And it is very interesting when you have solitude. And I am not a person who is afraid to be alone. I'm not a person who has an issue with being alone. Being alone doesn't bother me, never really bothered me. It is nice to talk to friends. I spend a lot of time every day on the phone with friends or texting with friends, and that's great. But it is interesting, the experience you have. I was talking to somebody today, and I said, you know, one of the things that really amazes me about being on this thing, this sort of experience by myself, is the amount of crap that your brain comes up with on a consistent level to fill the space instead of just experiencing where you are and being okay with it. And the result is you're always, you know, kind of feeling as though you have to push forward, push on, or feeling that you have to do something else. You have to add something to the experience, or I have to somehow chronicle the experience. I am making notes, and I am writing things down and so forth, just so I remember where I was, because one of the cool things about this kind of travel is it all kind of just filters into kind of a maw. It's just kind of the whole thing is just a big... Sometimes it's hard to remember where you were the day before. And so I'm being really careful about not going too far. And to that, what I've found is that 100 to 200 miles a day, if that, is actually pretty optimal. Because especially in the winter, you don't want to drive after dark. I've talked about this a bunch of times. It's only about 5 o'clock. The sun is going down here on the beach, and it is gorgeous, this beach. Last night I spent on Matagorda Beach. I'm ahead of schedule, and that's because I thought I was going to stay in Charlotte longer. I was going to go to Lake Wylie and see friends. That didn't pan out, so I just kept going. So it's very interesting. I'm about 10 days ahead of schedule. My plan was to be in Matagorda Beach at Christmas. I'm glad that didn't happen, because if it had, it would have been a rather sour Christmas. So my experience on Matagorda Beach was, at the beginning of 2020, in February, I came down after the caucuses to Matagorda. And I really didn't know what I was doing or where I was going. I ran into Matagorda and drove across the bridge and stayed on the beach and thought it was great. And it was a hard beach. You could drive onto the beach without any issues at all. So this time, I was all ready. I bought 4 bundles of wood. I was ready to spend 2 or 3 days out there. And one of the great things about Matagorda is there's really no, you need to get a permit. And I have a permit from earlier in the year. So I got my 2020 Matagorda permit stuck on the windshield. And once you have the permit, they don't care what you do. You can have a fire on the beach. You can stay out there for as long as you want. It's not an issue at all. And last February, when I went out there, you could just drive on the beach. The sand was really hard and there were no issues. And even then, I didn't want to go that far. So at that far down the beach, although at one end of Matagorda, there's a National Wildlife Reserve, and you can drive 16, 17 miles down that beach if you want, and people do. So the one thing I learned is beaches are not the same month to month, year to year. And so yesterday I drove out there and got stuck immediately, just mired down into the sand. And it was hard, because I had to remember my lessons for when I got stuck at the Biden rally in Iowa. I don't even remember what town it was. And I had to kind of feather it to get out of that mess. And the tow truck driver taught me that, because he got in and said, you don't want to spin the wheels. You got enough torque to get out. We're just going to feather it. And he feathered it and it pulled right out. And he said, in your defense, it may have hardened up a little bit since you were in the rally. So they did not have, he didn't want to tow me out because he didn't want to damage the truck. So what he wanted to do is pull it just slightly ahead until we could feather it out. So I remembered that. And rather than spinning my wheels, I just kind of feathered it back, let it fall forward, feathered it back, let it fall forward, just tiny amounts of pressure on the accelerator. And then finally it came loose and I pulled off the beach, and I literally backed off the beach. There were people behind me and they were like, well, I'm not even going to attempt it. So I backed out, and then there were these latrines, basically porta-johns parked down on one side. So I drove down there and I thought, well, I am not camping by the porta-johns. I'm just not going to do that. So I finally thought, well, I'm going to walk down there. So it was about a quarter of a mile down. I walked down and just walked the beach three or four different times. And I think it was way more than three or four. It was about five or six times, because I wanted to go back out there, but I didn't want to get stuck again. Meanwhile, I watched this guy in one of these really powerful diesel pickup, a Ram pickup truck with the stacks and everything. And he dug himself in and just was burning out that motor trying to get out of there. And one guy came with an all-wheel drive DRW and pulled him out. And then he got stuck again and the same thing happened. And then somebody came along and pulled him out again. So people were getting stuck all over the place and in trucks that you wouldn't think. Well, I found enough hard sand that I knew where to pull out, and then just turned to the left, and that's where I stopped. And I had a fire, and it was a cold night, and then it really was rainy this morning. Very humid, cold, and rainy. And I thought, well, gee, if I'd had to stay on that beach, it would not have been very pleasant, even though it was deserted. So I was kind of not in the mood, and I'm going to do a radio show tonight at 10:30, and I needed to be someplace where there was a good signal, and I didn't want to go all the way to Corpus Christi, and I happened to see the sign for Port Aransas. Now, I've been here before, too, and I really like this town. And I don't know when they built this beach, but there's a beach here that you can just drive out on. And what they've done is they've put posts in so that you don't drive all the way down the beach. And so the hard sand is up here where I'm parked and everyone else is parked. And then you can drive on the beach, but nobody has to because they've got this parking area. And they said, well, you got to have a permit, and if you don't, you get a $500 fine. So I went to the Exxon station right down the street from the beach, and I walked in and said, I need a permit for the Port Aransas City Beach. And she goes, oh, you don't need a permit, honey. And I said, well, why not? She said, because they ran out. So I think this might be a new beach. And what I've seen them doing is they've got earth movers, and they're pushing the sand back out into the ocean or the Gulf. And I think what has happened is that the hurricanes have pushed a lot of sand up here, and they're actually pushing the sand back out. And they weren't doing that at Matagorda. And I think at Matagorda, they just let it sit. So Matagorda, if you ever go there, is deserted. It's great because when you're out there, it's completely deserted. This one is probably going to end up being fairly deserted. So the cool thing about these beaches is during the day, it's crowded with day visitors, and then at the end of the day people start to leave, and then all you're left with are the people who are just going to camp. So there's a van guy down there a ways, there's somebody else down, another guy, and on the other side a couple of other people, and that's it. So it gets kind of cool out here with just a few people, and then we light our fires and we just hang out on the beach. And yes, you can have a fire here at Port Aransas right on the beach. So you have to bring wood, obviously. So I have two big piles of wood left. And those were all wet when I got up this morning. So now they're under the truck. They've been getting sun all day, so they're probably dried out. But you know, it's interesting because I've been by myself. I've met some people, and people say, "Oh, you should tape those conversations." Well, it's impossible. Last night, I ran into three people last night. Well, first of all, four people. I ran into a woman named Terry, I think her name was, at this place called Stanley's, which is at the foot of the bridge that goes out to Matagorda, and that's where you get your. I got wood, you can get gas, you can get, and you know, if you're down on gas, it's really not advisable to go out there without getting a full tank. So I didn't need fuel, but this thing is a lot heavier with a lot of fuel than it is without a lot of fuel. So I just left it be. I think I had a half a tank when I went out there. But she ran up and said, "Are you from Minnesota?" Because she saw my plates, and she was from Minnesota, and she was very excited. And she goes, "What are you doing here?" And I told her what I was doing, and she thought that was crazy. And we had a little talk, and that was neat. So, hi, Terry. And then it was pretty late, actually. I was gonna get ready to turn in, and the somebody else came back out. This is pretty late, and they got stuck. And then two guys jumped out and pushed this person out that they were riding with. And then they took off, and then one of them starts walking over to me and introduced himself, and his name was Doug. And Doug was very personal and personable. These are young guys, you know, 20s, and they were from Eglin, Texas, and they were rodeo riders and hog hunters. And we just had a hell of a conversation out there. One of the guys, so I'm trying to remember all the names. I had made a note. Twyla, Lane, and Doug. So the guys, Lane's birthday was yesterday, and they wanted to go to the beach for the birthday. So they were at the beach, and they had a bottle of vodka and some beers, and they were drinking, and we had a good talk. The thing is, I couldn't have recorded it because there was so much wind out there, and I don't know if it would have been the depth of the conversation that we had would have been as good as it was to record it, and it would have been impossible because we would have had to have been in the truck. So I just kind of had, I guess what I'm saying is people say, well, you should talk to people. You're going to talk to people. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that there are experiences that you have because they're part of your trip. And I don't know that they would print well in a podcast. They're probably better told than actually recorded. I'm sure I'll record some. When I got to Port Aransas, I came on the beach, and some guys, I think they were Cubans, they came over, and they were very excited to see my truck, and they were like, "We're coming back, dude, and we're going to have a bonfire right next to your truck." And I was like, "Can you have a fire out here?" And they were like, "Yeah." And I said, "Great, because I got two bundles of wood. I'm going to have a fire too." And hopefully they'll come back. I think I just heard them go by a little earlier. Everybody's real nice, and I think one of the cool things about Texas, and I'm going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast, I want to talk about some of the things about Texas and probably some of the best experience that I've had. We'll do that in the second half of this podcast. So I always talk about fuel prices because I'm on the road and I'm looking at diesel fuel. $1.99, $1.94 for diesel fuel down here in Texas at various spots. Now, I haven't been able to pay $1.94 right now because I'll fuel up when I need it. And if you need it, it's sometimes $2.19, sometimes it's $2.10. So 36 and Lynn. 36 and Lynn is the refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. I mention them because they are an independent refueling station, which means they get a better deal on fuel and they can pass the savings on to the customers. Plus, the secret sauce with 36th Lynn is the store. They got all kinds of locally sourced products, great coffee, and they have great events because they're all about the community. So if you get the chance, stop by 36th and Lynn, the refueling station at 36th and Lynn in the Lynn Lake neighborhood near Uptown Minneapolis. If you want to get off 94, you get off at Lindale Avenue and come up to 36. It's right there on your, if you're heading south, it's going to be on your left, right? Or if you're leaving Uptown and you're heading down to 35, they're at 36th and Lynn. You guys know, I've gone there for years. So check them out, 36th Lynn. And thanks, guys, for your sponsorship of the Bob Davis Podcasts. You know what? Guess what is in this thing right here? There's a box back here in Mobile Podcast Command. And guess what's in there? My printer. And Yeah, I haven't used it yet. And I hate my printer. And the reason I hate my printer is the print cartridges. I really hate paying retail prices, the top prices at these big box retailers for print cartridges. Why pay more to print? Cartridge World can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Some businesses can qualify for printers. Just call them, 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Soon, you'll be able to order print cartridges and so forth right online at Cartridge World. Why pay more to print? One of the cool things about Texas, and I'm jumping around a lot, but I've been on all these beaches all along from Florida, from like Destin, Pensacola Beach, Florida, all these places. And so it's December, and this is the first thing. You go down to Florida in December, unless you're going to Miami, and even then, Florida's going to be cold. It's not, especially now, you know, as a northerner, we really don't get acclimated to cold weather until February. So if you come down in December, you know, you're really not acclimated to cold weather yet, so you're not going to notice it, but it is cooler than normal to me for Florida. Especially northern Florida, so all along the panhandle. First of all through this area, all along the Gulf, there is a tremendous amount of hurricane damage. And I'm talking about houses. So they have all these houses on stilts, basically. And you pass through towns and they're brand new. And the reason they're brand new is they've been washed away and replaced. And they have to do this every 4 or 5 years because they get destroyed. That's the first thing. But it's also not warm enough to be really pleasurable. So once you get down to Corpus Christi, Port Aransas, which is just north of Corpus Christi, and point south, if you can, I mean, obviously you don't want to go too far south because you'll be in Mexico at that point. But you don't get, it doesn't get warm. Now, it was warm in Louisiana when I was right down just before I got to New Orleans. So I drove through New Orleans and it was hot, relatively hot to me. So I would say I've been driving through just endless tracts of land in Texas on two lane roads, 35 south, straight line. And I had this experience, and this is the thing that I think is really interesting, of I felt like I was in Indiana on Route 41 south in the middle of summer, like June, July, early June, maybe. Well, it's not quite hot, but it's summer. And it's not summer, it's December. So it's this weird, you're traveling through time and space. It sounds like the Twilight Zone. You're traveling through time and space. You're traveling through climates. You go through a lot of physical changes, time zone changes, physical changes as well, because the climate keeps changing. And so you go from one place to the next. It's cold here or it's warm there. I'm finally at a place where it's comfortably warm, like it was 85 when I got to the beach, and it's been 70 plus all day. So it feels like June in Minnesota. It feels really good. It's not uncomfortably hot. It's not uncomfortably cool. And then there's a nice breeze. And then tonight along the Gulf, this is what I find fascinating about the Gulf. I think there's an inversion, kind of like Minnesota lakes in the summer when the water is warm because the heat comes up to the top and it inverts. It feels like that in the Gulf. So at sundown, it will be kind of chilly. And then about an hour after sundown, when it's dark, you'll go outside. I'm in the truck most of the time when it's cool like that, especially in the evening. You step outside. It's dark. It'll be pitch dark out there. And it's warm. And you're like, wow, it feels warm. And it'll stay that way until about 2 or 3 in the morning. Then it starts to cool off again. Because I don't know, whatever nature does when it does that, but it's kind of cool. So this is the first place that it's been actually warm. What's great about Texas is there are no rules about what people can do on the beach. You have to be cool. You can't be stupid, but if you want a fire, you can have a fire. If you want to drive out on the beach, you can drive out on the beach most of the time. if you want to run naked, nobody's going to care. Not here. I'm not going to run around naked here because this is more of an urban experience. A lot of times when I was on the beach, like at Matagorda, and then another beach north of Matagorda, which I can't remember now even what it was. Oh, it was at the south end of Galveston Island. So it was Santa Rosa Beach or something like that. I can't remember. These houses have been rebuilt, and they rent for anywhere between, so a lot of them are three floors, and you can rent them for a week for about $1,800, right? They're pretty expensive. And I can't figure out whether they're not occupied because of COVID or because it's too early in the season, or whether later, if people from Houston and Dallas and places where it's really hot come down to the beach to cool off. But there's these rows of these houses along the beach, and they're just mute. The lights are off. Nobody's home. And it's fascinating. I walk through one of the neighborhoods, and it's like being in a ghost town because nobody's actually staying in these houses. And, you know, they don't really care what you do. And, you know, so you have to be somewhat prepared by getting some firewood, getting some food, kind of be ready to do the beach life thing. And I've kind of settled into it. And today I was going through all these changes.
You're on a podcast right now?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up? Who are you? Are you listening to the podcast right now?
Where
you at the Waffle House? I was at the Waffle House. It was great. What's your name?
Lawrence.
I'm
from Ingleside, man.
Cool.
Yeah, I was listening, and I was like, come on, is that him?
That's me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah. Take it easy.
And you'll be in the next podcast.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right.
Take it easy, brother.
See you later, bro. It's a Texas Jeep. See what I mean? People are so nice, and I'm so glad that happened because that was the best. He's listening to the Waffle House podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lawrence. Anyway, where was I? You just have to be ready to have an experience, and at the same time, I'm still calming down. It's very, very interesting what's happening because I don't have to go home, and I really don't have to go anywhere. So I've gotten used to the beach life, and so the next thing is I'm going to be going across Texas on the border. So that's going to be a very interesting experience, Texas on the border. And of course, what do you worry about? You know, somebody asked me last night, what's the best thing that you've seen? I have seen people like Lawrence, who, you know, really nice guy, and just these other people that came by earlier that were really nice. You meet people, you talk to them, the guys last night, you know, Terry from Minnesota, that very excited. This vehicle that is a bigger character than I am, the 2000 Ford Super Duty 450 ambulance. I spend a lot of time worrying about the truck. It's got 177,000 miles on it. And I spend a lot of time, trying to figure out how I can slow down. It's just so interesting. It all starts to slow down, and you start to be where you are, and that is so hard for me. It continues to be really difficult for me to do that without feeling as though I have to push on to the next event. But I do love Port Aransas, and I got to tell you, you know, I've been to a lot of beach towns, and this is the best one so far. And I said that a couple of years ago when I was here, and I really, really like Port Aransas. I think this is a really nice place, and it's out. You have to take a ferry to get here. When you're out here, man. This is it, and I really like it here. So I guess I'll end the podcast there, and that was the high point of the podcast, Lawrence. When you showed up, that was the high point of the podcast. How often, isn't that cool? Like, that wouldn't happen in Minnesota in a million years, where I'd be sitting by a beach doing a podcast and somebody would pull up and go, hey, I'm listening to you right now. That is so great. Really great. Don't forget, we are going to be going through a whole new thing with trade when they swear in Joe Biden as president. And I think that's probably a fait accompli at this point. It doesn't even matter what your politics are. If you are manufacturing overseas, if you're manufacturing in the United States and you're looking for a great U.S. manufacturer, Look no further than Depot Star, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. And I always throw in, for you inventors, if you are looking for a manufacturer, then you know that Mark Korn, who owns Depot Star and is the creator at Depot Star, is also an inventor. So he understands inventors. Visit their website at depotstar.com. That's DEPOTSTAR, depotstar.com. Once again, a shout out to Lane, Twyla, and Doug. You guys are great, and it was a great conversation last night. Also, Terry down at Stanley's just before you head over the bridge to get to Matagorda, who is a Minnesota transplant to Texas, which is awesome. And Lawrence, you made my day. That was great. Thank you for listening to podcast 970. Is that right? The Bob Davis Podcasts.
Do you know we are the young ghosts in reverse? Our stories unfold, moving slow. We're just killing time.